Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our monthly, or this month, it'll be a bi-monthly meeting. So let us all rise and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very good. May we have a roll call, please?
Good evening, Commissioners. I'll take the roll call. Chair Hartwig?
Present.
Vice Chair Griffith?
Present.
Present.
Hello, Commissioner. Off their mic. Thank you. Commissioner Tortorich, I understand he's excused. Yes. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Wright?
Here.
Commissioner Montgomery?
Here.
And Commissioner Jung Lee?
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve previous minutes?
I so move.
Second.
It's been seconded. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Old or unfinished business, we have none. Modifications to the agenda.
There are none, Chair.
Very good. All right, moving on to new business. We have item A. We have a resolution to authorize the appointment of Patricia Wells as the authority's new executive director.
Let's just go like this.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I guess we can use clapping as voting. I don't know. So we actually do need to have a motion here.
So moved.
So moved.
I'll second.
And seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Wow. You have the unanimous backing of the commission. All right. Very good. So,
Chair, may I just say a few words?
You sure may.
to our esteemed Board of Commissioners, to my fellow team members and co-workers of the Oakland Housing Authority leadership and management and just general staff team, to in absentia all the families that we serve and the partners that we work together, I understand that this was an extremely difficult challenge for the board, and I appreciate all the time and attention that was put into making sure that you put into this seat someone that would honor not just the mission of the Housing Authority, but the goal of making sure that all the families we serve thrive and that we are an asset to the Oakland community. And I stand before you saying that I know, looking out on the team that I've been working with all these years, we have absolutely a stellar group of people who are dedicated to make that happen with us in partnership. And I am indebted to be able to lead beside and with all these past few years, Mr. Andres Manriquez, and he and I are very excited to move forward on doing some amazing things. And so you have, I believe, by round of applause from our folk in the room, our 100% commitment to making OHA continue to shine and make Oakland a place for all. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Is that right? So with that, I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. And on behalf of our entire commission, I would like to welcome you as our newest executive director. And so now we are going to move on to our consent agenda, item B.
I believe we just need a motion.
You don't have to, because it's a consent.
It's consent.
Well,
if you'd like me to review.
We don't have to, but
Would you like
expecting,
us to?
I'm expecting that people actually have read these and know what they are.
I was just introducing the item, so I apologize.
Yes, no, well, we have item one, which is consideration of a resolution authorizing the Oakland Housing Authority to act as a co-guarantor along with Ramp Housing. This is for the Oak Grove North-South Disposition and Rehabilitation Project.
Yes.
And this. The number two item is consideration and approval of commissioner travel to attend selected national, regional, and state conferences in the calendar year 2000, which is on the very back page if anyone has any questions about what our eligible conferences are. So, do we have a motion?
I move that we accept the entire consent agenda.
Okay, very good. It has been moved.
I'll second that.
Seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Excellent. We are all in agreement and moving forward. So now we have people wishing to address the commission. I have two speaker cards, one from Lynetta Evans.
Good evening, recognizing commission. Good evening. I'm here on behalf of, I guess, history. I would like to say congratulations to Patricia Wells. She and I have worked together. I think I've been here 27 years, so I welcomed her when she first came. And I just want to say, so very proud and to know you and to have you to help me and to help me through my tenure at the Housing Authority. I could not have done it without you. And I appreciate your confidence in me, even when I thought I didn't have any myself. So welcome, and I am just so proud and honored to be able to witness this and to say thank you and just good luck. I'm excited, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lynette. Thank you so much.
Okay, and then we have Sharon White.
Hello.
Hello.
I'd like to address you. I brought my wrong document. I wanted to address the commission at some point, and I'm glad that it's this evening, regarding my disabled adult son. His name is Spencer White, and he's 32 years old. Spencer had been on the Oakland Housing Authority Section 8 waitlist since 2011, when he was originally selected in the lottery. And after a very long 8-year wait, his application burbled up to the top, and he received a Section 8 voucher 1 month ago on September the 12th. Spencer's status in the OHA system takes into account both his low income and his disability to a certain extent. The timing was excellent for his receiving a Section 8 voucher because Clausen House, which is an agency in Oakland that serves the developmentally delayed, had elected not to renew his lease after he had lived on Lenox Avenue for 6 years. Spencer, a Clausen House worker, and of course mom and dad, have been looking for Section 8 housing for him since August, early September timeframe, and we've encountered significant challenges, both personal and bureaucratic, and we're very grateful to have the voucher in hand, so thank you so much for that. To elaborate on Spencer's personal challenges, His credit is not great. He is right now between jobs, so even if he locates an apartment in Oakland, his chances of being selected to occupy it are worse than if he had good credit and a job. Another challenge is that he is truly disabled. His judgment is lacking. He has challenges with executive functioning, discernment, sequencing, getting along with others, and the list goes on. He would be okay with living in what most would consider an unsafe environment or surroundings, and he wouldn't even realize that they might be unsafe. This is part and parcel of his disability. We have visited several possible apartments in Oakland, and in some cases, the proposed neighborhoods appear to me to be somewhat sketchy and sometimes not particularly safe, especially for somebody with developmental delays, poor judgment, naivete, and mental impairment. We've encountered graffiti, poorly maintained neighborhoods and streets, not so great access to public transportation, and so on. We're continuing to look, but the search is difficult to find a safe, sane, and affordable place within Oakland city limits, even though we haunt the Go Section 8 website. This is a personal as well as bureaucratic challenge for Spencer. Having mom and dad accompany him to check out possible apartments has been quite useful. Spencer must locate housing within 90 days or he will lose his voucher. But very few landlords will accept Section 8. Primarily, I'm told.
Excuse me, Ms. White.
Yes.
I apologize, ma'am. It's me, Ms. Wells. Speaker time is 3 minutes, but I defer to the chair. I'm giving you more time.
Okay, am I done?
Yeah.
Would you like to do an ask?
Yeah.
An ask.
Tell us what the ask is.
Okay.
Yes.
My ask is, for all people with disabilities, a single one-time generic submission of a single request for accommodation, for reasonable accommodation request form to port out of Oakland would be applicable for all potential housing sites throughout the entire block of time required to find housing. And that ought to be sufficient to garner the approval of the RAR by Oakland Housing Authority rather than submit multiple almost duplicate forms signed by the doctor each and every time, which is a very lengthy and time-consuming process.
I see. Okay. Well, Patricia, we have the your first
absolutely
your first action now.
Sure. Thank you, Ms. White, for coming. And if I may, can I direct you to Andres Manriquez, who will give you some assistance and tell you how we can continue the conversation with the appropriate team member.
Thank you
for coming.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. We this is the kind of information that's actually really important for us to have. All right. Boy, this is a quick meeting, huh? We now have reports of commission committees. Or written communication, sorry.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
You have the monthly status report for August 2019 in your packet, and you'll note significant activities fostered by the Family Community Partnerships Department for both workforce development as well as summer youth activities. The Asset Management Department also provided activities to make it a thriving summer for both seniors as well as youth. And the lease housing and property management numbers show some shift then in leasing as well as use of vouchers here in our market. And then in the ORED Development Department, they give statuses on all the primary projects that are in activity as we speak. In written communications, Mr. Johnson, and I should mention that this is Mr. Johnson's final written report, and so I'm presenting on behalf of that fine gentleman today. He provides for us a letter from the HAI group congratulating the Housing Authority as one of our youth participants came up as a finalist in their 2019 playground poster and essay contest. And as mentioned earlier in the action item, there is a calendar for the meeting schedule. Please note that our next meeting will be on Monday, October 28th, which is our regularly scheduled meeting. And then lastly, the commissioner travel calendar, which complements the action item that was on the consent calendar. You have as handouts two. One is a news report as well as some information on self-care, mind, body, and soul, who I believe was provided by Commissioner White. Did you provide these? These? Thank you.
The NARSA conference that I attended in New Orleans, and also the publication of our Commissioner Jenny Costello, who received an award for her public service work.
So, Commissioner, you didn't hit the mic, so perhaps we can have you report that out on Commissioner's schedule.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Good evening. I have submitted to everyone on the board and to some of our staff my report, having attended the NARSA conference in New Orleans, Louisiana, September 24th through the 27th, along with an attached brochure from one of the main speakers. Also, I have attached the publication from the Oakland Post of those people here in the community of Oakland who have done outstanding work in the community, and one was our own Commissioner Jenny Costello.
Thank you. And the second handout, commissioners, is a Washington Post article issued on the federal judges who in three states who blocked the public charge rule by the current administration. And that block right now delays it for the states involved, but doesn't mean that the fight is not over. And so to assist you, what I've also provided is some recommended fact sheet by CLAFHA, the Council of Large Public Housing Agencies, on what the public charge rule is and any talking points, because I know as you're out and about and representing the Housing Authority, I thought it would be helpful for you to be able to speak to the item intimately. And also, the actual fact sheet on the rule itself, so you could understand why it's of grave concern. And at this point, the communication that we're putting out to our residents is that if they have any questions, we recommend three advocacy groups here in the city of Oakland and in Alameda County, because our staff does not give any advisement. We rather refer our folks to the places that know what to do and how to do it. And I just wanted to make sure you had that, because it seems to be quite a buzz as you go into different meeting spaces. And that concludes my report.
Thank you very much.
I have one question.
Yes.
Thank you. On page 23, I was just curious. I know that we've had the VASH vouchers for a couple of months, and it looks like we have a lot of them on our side. And I was curious whether there's some new barriers that are needing to overcome to get more of our veterans housed.
And our director of leased housing is coming to the dais be able to explain it. Thank you. Michelle Hassan.
Commissioner Michelle Hassan, director of leased housing. VASH continues to be a challenge for us. I think it's two-part. One is around referrals that we receive from the Veterans Administration. They are trickling in now.
Can you put the mic a little closer to you? Thank you, dear.
Oh, sorry. Michelle Hassan, Director of Leased Housing.
Thank
Commissioner
you.
Castillo, the VASH vouchers continue to be a challenge for us, primarily around the referrals. Mm-hmm. We've gotten maybe one to two a month. So we're down in referrals. But I think also just veterans trying to locate housing has been difficult. One bedrooms are very difficult to come by. To address the challenge, one of the areas we believe could assist us is to project base some of the VASH vouchers.
Yeah.
So HUD just put out a request for additional vouchers, and We did submit an application with the caveat that we would want to project-base any awards that we received. A number of new projects are setting aside VASH vouchers. So as we get additional PVV awards, we could request that HUD project-base some of our VASH vouchers. But that really is probably going to be where we were able to see some positive impact.
Okay. Is Swords or Plowshares involved in referral? We're only getting them through the
No,
VA?
Just the Veterans Administration.
So that's part of the
They
issue.
Can refer mm-hmm. veterans to the VAMC.
Right.
But the VAMC is the only referred agency for us.
And is there any hopes to change that policy where we could possibly allow the veterans nonprofits also to refer?
That really would have to come from HUD.
I see.
That would be a policy decision.
Okay. I will talk to them. Not HUD, Swords and Leaders. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I noted that the foster youth program also has a low occupancy rate. It's probably especially in terms of getting private landlords to take, to house them. Is there a possible similar arrangement that could be made with project-based? Are they issued vouchers as well?
No, they're not.
Okay.
It's actually a local program. We are only paying subsidy for the First Place for Youth and Foster Youth THP Plus program.
Okay.
The challenge, interesting, we have our monthly call tomorrow. The challenge is different, though, with that program. The challenge really is getting the youth ready to lease, because many of them are in shared situations, and First Place for Youth and Beyond Emancipation actually master lease units. So what we're finding is, as soon as you're getting someone ready, another youth is exiting, just because they're not able to maintain either the rules of the program, maintaining the unit, paying their portion of rent when they get to the point of doing that. So much of it really just has to do with their readiness to come into First Place for Youth, abide by the rules, and then live in a shared situation. Some of them actually live in single-family homes in rooms that a family will agree that the individual could live there, and sometimes the relationships aren't working out.
I see.
So we've gotten a lot of referrals, but not as many that we had hoped would make it through to leasing a unit.
Yeah, I see. Well, thank you for that explanation. I'm not sure if this question applies to your department, but on page 33, it shows a modest decline in occupancy, just under 2%. Over a couple of years.
Thank you, Commissioner.
For a public housing authority.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mark Schiffrell, our Director of Property Operations, to come up and speak to that item. As he's walking up, I'm wondering if Michelle can kind of speak to how she's working with our partners to try to help the youth be better prepared to become great tenants.
So there is a whole runway that First Place for Youth and Beyond Emancipation work with the youth. What we found is that they actually use OPRI as a stepping stone into First Place for Youth.
Oh.
So they may initially come in under the OPRI program and then get referred over to First Place for Youth to come through THP Plus. So there is some readiness is done, but then other youth are directly referred in for those placements. So it really just, you know, there's all kinds of money management issues, following the lease, the conflict of roommates is what we're hearing where some of the challenges are.
I see. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. Mark Schiffrell. A little far over? Good evening, Commissioners. Mark Schiffrell, Director of Property Management. To speak to the changes in our occupancy, we have experienced some move-outs, some transfers. So when we go to do that, we have unit turnovers. due to reasonable accommodations, valid transfers, things like that, confidential client transfers. To fill vacancies with incoming tenants, we're working with our partner. Leased Housing Department is processing applications currently, so we can fill units.
And I think if you look on the first part of my report, you'll see some intake that it was done for OPI units, and intakes just occurred last Wednesday for public housing units. So we should see some improvements in terms of referrals for families in the next couple of weeks.
And you're doing those in batches of 100, correct?
So what the process is that OPO sends us a request for applicants, and they actually are telling us the vacancies they have and how many families they're requesting for each unit. Mm-hmm. We then go in the wait list and do a 3-to-1 for units and request that those families come in as well. So
and
it's about a 3-to-1.
3-to-1 mm-hmm. means?
So three for one vacancy, three applicants are called in.
Is there a follow-up question. Is there a period of time in which you then take in new applicants from that list? So is it every 6 months or a year or 2 years?
So the wait list is the wait list, but we can pull from the wait list as Office of Property Operations and OPI needs applicants. So we'll pull from the wait list as we get requests for applicants.
Okay.
But you can't be added to the wait list.
Sure. I understand. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you,
Mark.
Very good. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I just need to ask, on the Community Partnership Program, Lenita Wheeler.
Lenita, could you come up, please? Thank you.
Yeah, this is too far back. I'm not. Hi, just a little bit more information on the graduates from the program with the amount that then escrow. Could you just kind of elaborate on that a little bit? I think that's on page, is that 7?
It's your FSS program, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Commissioner Lenita Wheeler, Director of Family Community Partnerships. During the month of August, there were three individuals who received their escrow checks from Family Self-Sufficiency. While in the Family Self-Sufficiency program, they worked with our coordinators on increasing their employment gains, increasing their income. Excuse me. And some of them had other goals as well. The other goals could be anything from returning to school. It could be improving credit scores, reducing debt. Sometimes people have personal goals around reconciling relationships with family members or loved ones. The personal goals could also be around their children, maybe enrolling them in school or summer camp or something of that nature. HUD requires for graduation very few things. The first is that they be in lease compliance. The second is that no one in the household can be on cash aid the 12 months prior to their graduating. Cash aid is what is traditionally known as a welfare, or here in California, TANF, CalWORKs. It is okay for someone to be receiving Medi-Cal and or SNAP benefits. The HUD is requiring that they not still be receiving the actual cash aid payments in check. HUD will also require that the individuals be working minimally. We have revised our action plan. HUD has guidelines, and then we have submitted to them a family self-sufficiency action plan for our department. Traditionally, HUD is looking for individuals to be working full-time within 6 months of their graduation. We have submitted our action plan that HUD has approved, which allows for families to be working 30 hours or more. This includes if they have their own business, if they're an entrepreneur. They could also be working part-time.
Okay.
And they could also be in school part-time.
Okay.
So the two of those together, we have submitted to HUD, and they've approved that would be equivalent of an individual working full-time. We also allowed for part-time work to take into account many of our families who work contract, or what you would consider now, I believe, is a gig economy. So we see this most often with those who work in apprentice or trades positions, whereas, say, for 4 years, they were regularly employed, they were regularly working, and it just so happens that the timing of when it's time for them to graduate, that they don't have a current contract. And so we revised our action plan to allow for that, to give the individual credit for all of the hard work and achieving everything they did, in addition to not being on cash aid, as well as the other requirements from HUD. So we've adjusted our action plan to allow for that. And so these three individuals in our report for August, we have the first of which who is allowed her to obtain a master's degree. And she had the largest escrow check there, which is not uncommon, that amount, $36,000. And then the other individuals, have received, again, large amounts, just over $28,000. Mr. Harrison is about average. The average of our family self-sufficiency graduates are earning $7,000 to $9,000 upon their graduation. But we have seen many families, as you see here in the report, earn in excess of that.
Thank you. I just, you to be congratulated for that. It's just interesting how they, accumulate, how they save and, and move on to be able to become homeowners. Thank you for that. Do you want to ask?
No,
okay.
No, it's very good.
Yeah. I thank you to be congratulated for that. And I think that, we should know more about, the homeowners, that the residents that are involved in the program. I just have one last question. Do they go through a training program, not training, but qualification to get on the list to enroll in the homeownership program?
Yes. Yeah. Anyone can express interest in the homeownership program, and there isn't anything to qualify to express interest. We certainly have more families expressing interest than we have coordinators available to support our families. Easily, FCP could do homeownership all day long, 365 days a year. There is that much interest. Quite frankly, homeownership is oftentimes the lure we use to get individuals into other programs and into lease compliance and to pay more attention to their credit or financial literacy, because the dream of homeownership is very motivating. What we do support individuals in order for them to move forward in the process, so they do have some minimal qualifications. They must show that they have an income that could actually support a mortgage. They must also prove to a lender that they're disciplined enough with their credit in order for a lender to be willing to give them a loan. And they must also have a minimum amount of savings showing the motivation that they have, as well as an indication of how they may do well with maintaining the home. Once an individual meets those minimum qualifications, currently the minimum qualification for homeownership, it's Oakland minimum wage times 2,000 hours, which is somewhere around $25,000 to $30,000 per annum. Currently, our individuals who are at that, they're not currently qualifying for homes that would pass our inspection process. Generally, those loans are very low. Our homeowners that we have searching now are currently averaging $275,000, $250,000 to $275,000 at the low end. And at the very high end, it could be as much as $450,000, and those are generally for larger families. Once individuals have met those minimum income, credit, and savings qualifications, we ensure that they have basic homeownership education, and they must attend no less than the, it's usually like an 8-hour training, or it can be broken up depending upon their schedules. And then we submit their documentation to our Section 8 department, which will conduct a formula to identify if the individuals are in fact going to meet the regulations for Section 8. In the event they do, we provide them with supports on identifying realtors, on identifying lenders. Some have selected their own. There is no restriction on who they can select. And based upon what they've been qualified for and what's available in the market, individuals do what anyone else would do and go shopping. And those homes must meet inspections. The bank is going to require an inspection, and then the housing authority is also going to require an inspection. Our last year of homeowners have been purchasing in East Oakland, and it varies the amount of the home dependent upon the family size and the family situation. But we do require that they have post-purchase support as well. We have post-purchase workshops where we support the family members with home maintenance, what happens with property taxes, how to address all of the mail that they're going to be receiving as a new homeowner that's targeting them for things that are usually not in their best interest, as well as safety and how to be good neighbors.
Thank you so very much. Yeah, we appreciate that, that we have that type of person with that experience that's working for housing that can have a program like this. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Lenita.
Thank you indeed.
Commissioner, we had two more persons wishing to address the Board of Commissioners.
Yes, I have two speaker cards right here. I have one for Denise Jones. Is Denise Jones here?
Hi, good evening, Ms. Jones. Okay. You can come up to the stand right there. And each of you have 3 minutes to speak.
So my grandmother vehicle been blocking, and she can't get in and get out. The neighbor been blocking her every day. We do call the police. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, you want to explain?
When we call the police, the first thing she would mention is
Hi,
her family.
Hi, I'm sorry, Ms. Jones.
Hi, my name is Joan Jones.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Hi, Ms. Jones. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
When I had to take her to work, or I have no access to get to my vehicle. They are blocking me. We have a bunch of pictures of that. We've been sending it to the property manager. I've been threatened practically every day since last year. She's going to get her people to beat me up. March 28, I was attacked by her roommate that lived with her. And what happened was I was helping my daughter at home because her ankle, she messed her ankle. And I came home around about 5 in the morning, and this child came in. She said, Granny, I can't go to school because I couldn't sleep. And she played her. She showed me that they was playing a lot of music. So as I was dressed, getting ready to go to school, this woman came banging on my door, you know, telling me she gonna kick my butt because we was making too much noise. You know, this is like the time that we get up and go to school. And they know that. And so I said, just look, just get away from the door. You didn't think about your kid when you was making too much noise, and my child can't even go to school because of it. And she didn't care. So took my backpack, went down to my car, put my backpack in my van, and I was going upstairs to get my laptop. And she confronted me. And next thing I know, she confronted me, talking about we were messing up her kids sleeping, this and that and the other. And I said, look, I'm going to repeat myself again, that if your child was sleeping, you should not be up at night. You know, you should not be up at night, have your music up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning loud, where my baby can't go to school now because she can't sleep, you know. And she said, well, I don't care about that. But I said, you know what, I really don't care about you and your child. I just want to go to school. She looked up. She didn't see them. And when she pushed me, I fell all the way back on the concrete. I'm injured right now today. I'm in pain every day. You know, and it just bothers me when I hear her voice. Nobody's not doing anything. She sent emails to the manager. The manager's not doing anything. I asked for an emergency move because we are being threatened all the time on a daily basis. And that's not good for me. I can't function, you know.
I can't even cook for my grandbabies. It just you know, hurts me. My grandkids are scared. They see me getting out. They waiting for me to come in the house because they scared for me and my safety. I should be scared for them, for their safety too. And it's been going on for a whole year. Housing Authority is not doing anything because they know her people. They work for Housing Authority. You know, they knocked on my door and told me I had to move my van so they can give them a jump.
Ms. Jones, speaker's time is concluded.
Okay.
I'd like to know which facility this is, please.
Ms. Jones, what address are you referring to?
26, my address.
The address where this is happening,
okay,
yes, ma'am.
2626 East 21st Street, my apartment number is C, and the attackers are, they live in apartment A.
Thank you, Chair. If it so pleases the board, Ms. Jones was speaking with Director Schifferl at the time that we called her up to the dais. I would ask that he continue to work with the family and assist them with resolving this situation.
And is the Chief of Police aware of the situation? Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
So
thank
we're
you.
Gonna, we're
thank
gonna
you so much.
Put someone on this.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jones, for coming out. Thank you.
And thank you. Thank you. Okay, so we are now on to reports of commission committees. And do we have any meetings?
Well, you know, the big one.
Well, we had, we had a lot of stuff going on because we had the recruitment committee and then we had the full board, but now you see that we have a result of this very challenging process that we went through. So so that's all we have for commission committees. However, speaking of committees, we are going to form two more committees to kick off our new era with a new executive director. The first committee is going to be what I'm calling, for lack of a more creative name, would be the Management Transition Committee. The purpose of this committee is going to be to support Patricia in her new role so that we have a strong connection between the commission and Patricia, and that we are in a position to do whatever she feels she needs to excel at her job. The other aspect of this is that we have a contract with with Patricia wherein we are supposed to identify goals within the first 6 weeks that we mutually agree to. And so so the committee will involve itself in that, even though that decision is going to obviously be made by the full board, as all decisions are. So so this committee, we probably want to get going sooner rather than later. So I have asked Lynette if she would serve on this commission, and she has indicated that she would. And so we're going to need one other person on
which
the.
Which one are we talking about?
This is the Management Transition Committee.
You can put me where you need me.
Uh-huh.
Put me whichever one you need me.
Okay, because we're going to have both of them. Right. So, so Barbara, are you interested in either one of these committees? Because you haven't been on a committee for a while, I don't think.
I work with the net.
Okay.
Transition.
Okay, very good. Then you'll be on that. So, okay, so we actually now have a committee assembled for that. So for the so the next committee that we're going to do is going to be the Housing Authority and Resident Security and Safety Committee. So this is actually going to be a really important committee because we're going to be working a bit with our police department here, so that rather than having the police department exercise their own judgment exclusively, which they have been doing to wonderful effect, we want to actually provide some active support to them. And some of the things that we're going to look at are going to be answering questions like, what is the difference between loitering and people getting together and having a conversation? And if loitering is determined to be undesirable and disruptive, what do we really do about it? What actually can we do about it, particularly in light of the fact that the city has moved away from their loitering ordinance? So this is going to really look at what we need to do, really, to keep both the housing authority in good standing in the community and to keep our residents all over the city feeling safe and secure. So that committee will put together at our next meeting, because that's only going to be 2 weeks away. I just wanted to mention it tonight so that people can think about whether you might be interested in being on that committee, and then we'll select people for it at our meeting on the 28th. Okay?
Excellent. Yes, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. So now we are going to announcements by commissioners. Yes.
Thank you. Excuse me.
Commissioner, can you pull your mic towards you and turn it on, please?
Oh, yes.
Pull it towards you and push.
Thank you.
You have to get up on it.
Oh, it's not staying on.
Okay.
Do we have a technical quirk here?
Yeah, this is not.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to address the conference that I attended in New Orleans, Louisiana. This was the National Alliance of Resident Services in Affordable and Assisted Housing. One of the highlights that I want to talk about specifically is housing accessibility for disabled residents. In talking with people from different states in our networking sessions, it is very sad to know that there's renovation going on of current sites, new sites are being built, and the people at the totem pole, at the very, very bottom of the totem pole, are those who are disabled and handicapped. Why? Why is the answer a question with no answer coming forward? The main problems is not having accessibility to the kitchen wall cabinets and to the cabinets that are underneath the counters. In the bathroom, there is no walk-in or roll-in shower. Everyone is not able to use the bathtub. You cannot climb over the wall. You cannot sit down. And it was just interesting to note that all the different people that were represented, and we're talking about a total of right around 47 states, this was the major, major complaint. A highlight, yes, but a negative highlight. And we truly need the developers. We need the architects. When you say you want our input, we give you the input, and then it gets pushed out the window. It's not fair, it's not right, and we need to truly look at some resolutions. The theme was willing, ready, and able. And of all the five main speakers, everyone talked about why is there homelessness, but no one had a resolution to suggest. This is not comparable to who we are. We say we are a public housing authority. We are not addressing resolutions to the homelessness problem. We talk about it, But we're not ready to move on it because we have no movement on the planning table. I also found it interesting to note that some of our larger cities like New York City, Boston, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Maryland, Savannah, Georgia, Atlantic, Georgia, they have major, major housing issues. And when it came to networking, I was trying not to be, you know, smiling ear to ear, but it was like, I got something to tell you all about Oakland. And it was with great pride that I spoke about Oakland Housing Authority. True enough, there's always room for more growth, for better service. But I want you to know, if you could hear what some of these larger cities are going through, you would have a smile from ear to ear to know that your housing authority is not down as they are. They don't even have a FCP. And someone said, what is FCP? I said, Family and Community Partners. Oh, what do y'all do? I said, do you really have time to listen? And I started talking. We had 3 minutes. And so everybody know me. I don't like to talk. I took everybody's time because I had something to say. And I said it. And they gave me the time to say it. Our housing and with the leasing, Section 8, in April, I think it's the third Saturday, that we honor our homeowners who list their properties with us. They didn't know what that was about. Our teenagers. Tanisha Cannon is working with our teenagers. They meet every Wednesday. They not only do work in the community, they clean up around the community. They're helping to strengthen and encourage each other to stay in school. They don't have that going on either. So I just want to say to you, you may not think we're doing a lot, but Oakland Housing Authority of Oakland, California is somebody to be reckoned with. And on two of the classes that we had for networking, the first class, there were 21 states and 27 cities represented. The second one, it was 17 states and 18 cities. And both of those networking sessions, Oakland Housing Authority was within the top four of each one. And I challenged people. I had people saying to me, oh, you just fronting, you fencing, y'all not all of that. So, yeah, I challenged them. I told them to get on Greyhound bus, get on Amtrak, get on a plane, get you a gasoline card. Don't come on Fridays because we're closed every other Friday. But I told them. You don't have to call in advance. We don't need to know that you're coming. Just come Monday through Thursday. And I dare you to go to any one of our sites and you won't see what I'm talking about. We are somebody. And one person said, well, we hear about Oakland all the time because they got bad crime. I said, oh, no, you don't know Oakland. The reason why you don't hear about the good stuff is because there's no money when you tell good stuff. The news makes money with bad news. So, yes, I have challenged people to come to Oakland, California, to see who we are and what we are about. And Chief Duplessis, your police department do too much. You do too much. I listen to people who don't even have an Oakland, or I should say a housing authority police department. They rely on deputy sheriffs. For crime only. We have a police department that does public community picnics in every section that we have. They do the Christmas party. The officers are out there to have a rapport with our youth so that our youth are not afraid to walk up and have conversation with them. Oakland, you need to realize who we are and what we represent. We represent what some people don't have, who are larger cities than we are. And I have to say, I was just overjoyed to be able to represent at this conference, to share with them who we are, what we have, and we're still striving to do better. I was very proud to say that I am a part of the Oakland Housing Authority. And I'm getting some packets together for boroughs in New York, Massachusetts, Alabama, and Mississippi, because they couldn't believe all that we have to offer. So I'm making up some packets for them to give them an idea of what they can do if they sit down and plan and work together. Because the first thing you must have is unity. And I even bragged about that. OHA has unity with all of their departments. You may not agree, but we do have unity. And before you can be successful and be positive, you must be in unison. You must have unity. And again, I thank you for the opportunity to attend. And I won't say any more, but I could. I also want to apologize for a typographical error that I made for the word 12. I was rushing to do this, and so I apologize. But thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me go and represent you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, if there are no more announcements, any more announcements? No? Okay, then if there are no more announcements, all we need is a motion to adjourn. Been moved.
I'll second that.
We are hereby adjourned. Thank you all for coming.